Good morning. Good to be here. It's good to be here the last couple of days. Enjoyed our fellowship yesterday. I love tea. That was very nice, Terry. They're very nice and very. And our two kids that ate all the sugar cubes. It was fun. And for the ice cream social and everything. Thank you so much. It's good to be here. Our mission theme is be present. And as Pastor said, Ed and I have been privileged to be present in Thailand for 30 years. I know we went with as kids, right? Yeah. But we're international workers with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We have two grown kids. Our daughter, Laura, is currently the middle school, high school band director at an international Christian school in Hong Kong. And our son is an engineer in the Grove City area here in Pennsylvania. We're thankful that both of them know the Lord. Both of them are serving in their churches, and we're just very, very happy. We got to see them in June after not seeing them for like 3 years. So it was wonderful to have a vacation together. Now, it would not have been possible to serve all these years in Thailand without financial support. And as Pastor was saying, there is something called the Great Commission Fund. And this is how we and 700 other international workers with the Christian Missionary Alliance are supported. Now you have opportunity to give both in a designated way or in an undesignated way. And what do I mean by that? We're raising about 40% just for our ministry, our strategic needs, and part of our allowance comes from that. The other 60% comes from people who just give to the Great Commission Fund. And it's very important because we get 60% of that. That would be like our health insurance and our transportation and the field budget and all this other stuff. Both kinds of giving are needed. So I think it's exciting that you can give to someone specific or else you want to give to all 700 of us. And either way is we're very, very thankful. If you give to the undesignated way, in other words, it goes for all 700 of us, and like I said, we get a part of that, you just give online, cmaalliance.org/give, or you can send in a check. The Alliance headquarters moved to Ohio recently, so we have a new address. Or, as Pastor said, right here in the church, and they will make sure the funds get there. If you want to give to us specifically or another international worker, you just put our little name on there. And then they'll direct it to the accounting people and bing, 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 we get notice of that and we can send you a thank you note. If it comes to the general pot, we just have to thank you all generally because we don't know who's giving, but we're so thankful that the Lord has enabled us to be there these 30 years and we've never been without. And I just thank you very, very much. We appreciate all of our partners. But even more important than financial is prayer. We could not have possibly been there all these years without your prayer support. And I was listening to some of the ladies. They didn't realize the Ed in Thailand they were praying for with the heart issue was my husband. And we were here. It's like, no, that's this Ed. Oh. Anyway, we just thank you so much how the prayers go out and we just feel so supported and so covered. We do send out a monthly prayer update. That is the little website you go to. It's MailChimp, if you're familiar with that. It comes up to a page. Sign up for Ed and Sue Daneker's prayer letter. You put your name, email address, boom, and you're on the list. If you don't get anything in a month, then probably look in your spam folder because MailChimp, you have to like say it's safe or something. Sometimes they end up in spam folders. But we do try to send out something once a month. So if you don't hear from us, you're like, let me check that spam folder. But it's coming out that way now. And we very, really, really thank you. I also did one of those fancy QR codes on our display, and you can do your phone thing there. And it comes up to that page, too. Sign up for Ed and Sue Daneker's prayer letter. I probably should have put that, what that QR code is. I just have this stray QR code. And I'm like, oh, if I open that, what is it? Is it going to blow up my machine or something? Anyway, that I should put for our prayer updates. Go here. I didn't think of that, but anyway. Okay. Dwelling among the people to reveal Jesus. Let's just pray another time here. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you love us. And I just pray that you would be with each of us, be with me as I share, be with each person here as they listen. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive from you this morning. Father, I just thank you that you are the God that loves all people. Thank you, Lord, and just be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God has called Ed and I to be church planners, and one of our fundamental principles is to live in the community where we are church planting. We moved to Bonpale back in 2015. We have been privileged to be a part of four daughter churches, and our fourth one that we have just finished up is in Bonpale, just to the west of Bangkok. Bangkok is a huge city of about 10 million people. Samut Sakhon has just maybe a million or so people. In Bonpale, 20,000, where we were at, a small town, densely populated. It had a small town feeling. The whole district is about 90,000. And so we moved to Bonpale back in 2015. But the first impressions we gave our new neighbors in Bonpale was scary to them. When our moving truck came to our newly rented house, they plopped down 18 55-gallon metal drums in our carport, and the neighbors wondered, what's in those barrels? Well, in the Thai news recently, back there in 2015, a terrorist had just been caught in Thailand with chemicals stored in 55-gallon metal drums. And so they're looking at us, putting them in there, and they're like, oh my goodness, is it a terrorist? Now, there is a Christian that lives on the same lane as us that goes to our church, and she said, oh, no, Ensu aren't terrorists. They're here to plant a church. And they didn't know what that was either. But I'm sure the neighbors were very relieved when we opened those barrels up, and out came sheets and towels and books and pots and pans and all of our household goods. It's the best way to store stuff in a hot, humid climate. You put that stuff in there with the sealer and seal that down. Mice can't get in. Bugs can't get in. Moisture can't get in. Everything just stays so nicely because it's a very rugged, hot, very humid climate. So they were so glad when they saw all this sort of household normal stuff coming out. We had not come to blow up their neighborhood, but to dwell among them and to reveal Jesus. In John 1:14 that we already heard this morning, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word of God, the eternal God, the creator of everything, took on human flesh and came and dwelt among mankind to be a real life example of God's glory, grace, and truth. And like Jesus, all of us Christians need to dwell among people, to be present, to engage with them, so that they may see God's glory and experience his grace and truth. After we moved in, Ed and I got out in the community. We went shopping in the local markets. We introduced ourselves. We told them where we were living. We told them we were moving in, and we told them what we were doing. We wanted people to know that we had come to their area. We interacted with the shopkeepers. And in the evening, we decided for 3 months we would go out and do nothing but pray, and we would do prayer walks onto every street, every alley, as far as we could go. We would go out about 4 or 5 o'clock when the sun was setting. Like I said, it's blistering hot in Thailand. So as the sun was setting, and also the people tend to be outside more in the evenings because it's cooler. And we would go until dark and then head back and pray. And as we walked and prayed, we were greeted by our new neighbors. Some thought, are you lost? Who are you looking for? We said, no, we are playing blessing on Bonpale. We want Bonpale to know the love of God. And they thought, okay. And they also thought maybe we were English teachers at that one private school. There's I wouldn't even say half a dozen other foreigners in this community of 20,000. So we really stand out because there's very few of us. And all the others pretty much are English teachers there, and they come and go, and they thought we were teachers. I said, well, we are teachers, but we're not English teachers at that school. But we teach the good news of Jesus. And we have come to share with the people of Bonpale the love of God and to start a church. And the people were amazed that we could carry on a conversation in the Thai language very comfortably, because most of the foreigners that teach English don't know Thai, just very little. So they were amazed we could talk their language. On our sixth prayer walk, we met a Thai lady named Nun. She was in front of her beauty parlor, and I had been looking for a place to get my hair cut. And I saw the sign over her head. It said, "That Pum Chai Kap Ying." And I said, "Oh, it's haircuts for men and women." And Nun heard me say that, and she says, "Oh," smiled and said, "Come on in." And so I went on in, and I told Ed, "You just keep praying around here. I'm going to go get my hair cut." So I sat down, and she started clipping away. And as we talked, we just started to engage and talked, and she wanted to know why I was there and all this stuff. And I quickly found out she was a religious seeker. She had tried all kinds of different Buddhist practices, different spiritistic practices, looking for peace, looking for fulfillment. In Thailand, 90% of the people are Buddhist. Most of the Thai also engage in the appeasement of the evil spirits. Less than 1% are Christian. And as I was leaving, after I got my hair cut, Nun says to me, "I don't think anything happens by chance in this world." I said, "I agree." And I thought, this is a divine appointment. About a month later, God had used a series of things in her life that she opened her heart to the Lord. And Nun became our first Thai believer in Bonpale. Mark 1:35-39 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." Here in Mark 1, it's the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. He was baptized by John. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness, fasted and prayed. And in verse 35, we see he, very early in the morning, got up and prayed in a solitary place. He retreated for a time of prayer with the Father. Prayer really is the ministry. It's our ministry. Sometimes we think it's a prelude to ministry, like we pray and then we do our ministry, the real ministry. Prayer is the ministry, absolutely. And without us getting ourselves in tune with what the Father is doing and what he's leading and seeking his power, ministry will just become a bunch of religious activities and you'll just be spinning your wheels. But prayer really is the ministry. Simon Peter and his companions found Jesus there. And in verse 38, he says, well, back there, he says, "Everyone is looking for you." Everyone's looking for you. He's all probably all excited. We're following this new guy and it's really popular and it's really good. But verse 38, Jesus says, "No, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." I'm sure one of the things that Jesus was praying about was, "Where next, Lord? Where else should I go to preach your word?" And I encourage you to have that same attitude here in Hallam, in your area where you live. Try prayer walking. Go out and see what's out there and pray. "Lord, what are you doing here? How are you leading? Where is that next village that we need to proclaim? Who is that neighbor that needs to hear you? Whose heart have you prepared?" It's very exciting when you go out expecting. So I encourage you to pray around the church building, pray around your house. Go out and see what's out there. In Bonpale, Nun was so excited. She was sharing with everybody her new faith, and some people were starting to show interest in the Lord, and we decided it was time to have a small group. We were taking Nun to the Mother Church, a good half hour or so away, for Sunday worship, but we felt it was time to have something local there in Bonpale. And we thought, well, we should have a small group Wednesday night. Where should we have it? And she said, right here in my beauty parlor. She said, I am in the middle of the market. I have glass on three of my walls. It was a little room, 4 meters by 4 meters by 4 meters. she said, I want it right here. People can walk by. They can hear us. They can see us. They can know what Christians do. And I thought, okay, very good. And when our group grew to more than 10 local believers, we started to pray that God would show us a building that would be a little more convenient than her beauty parlor. I was teaching the kids on Saturday morning and she prayed that someone would come to get their hair cut. And I had about 10 kids on the floor and she's cutting hair and hair all over their crafts and stuff. But that's okay. They loved none and it was amazing. She wanted to be able to, them to hear what I was saying and it was very confusing. But anyway, praise God for her heart. But it was pretty small. She would put all of her beauty stuff out in the street. Like the table and the sink, and she just moved it all out so that we could sit there. We had as many as 15 there. 17, 15. Well, anyway, tie are smaller, but anyway, it was pretty cramped. So we prayed. We began to, take offerings so we knew what they could afford. We thought it was very, very important that they paid the rent from day one, because then if we're there or not there, it can go on. They knew what they were giving. And we said, okay, we need a building about this much money. And God answered. Now, actually, the building, we just praise God. It was right in the center of town. It actually looked more like those ones unpainted when we got it, actually trashier. A lot of trash in the front. I had walked by that about a million times, and I never saw it because it was so, like, dilapidated. But one lady said, it's got to be here. And so, praise God, we were able to paint it up and fix it up, put the cross on the top, and it's right in the center of town. A canal goes through the town from east to west, and we are right along that canal, this canal here. And so there's a bridge, a concrete bridge, that goes across the, right, we're right there at that corner where the concrete bridge goes there and the canal goes there. The canal is about 40 miles long from one main river to the other, and Bonpale's kind of in the middle. That's how they initially got around, in the waterways and in the boats and stuff. So you can see we're right there on the corner of, well, maybe you can't see. We're over there on that corner. Maybe you can't see it. But anyway, you get the idea. We're right in the center of town. And we're right near that bridge that goes north and south. March 2017, we opened for our first worship service, and I just praise God how the Lord has grown our group over the time of since 2017. Last year in July of 2021, last year in July, a massive fire broke out in that downtown market area that you saw the picture of Ed shopping in the beginning. It was so sad. It's all made of teak wood. It was all made of teak wood, 100 years old, and there was an electrical short and went up. And pastor said he could feel the heat at the, because our church is across the canal and not too far from that. He said you could feel the heat. We lived a half mile from there. We could see the flames in the sky. Oh my goodness. And the people sending us all the texts and sending us pictures and horrified how fast it was going up. Well, it was very, very sad. At the end, 28 shops were destroyed and about 40 families were affected, some made homeless. Our church immediately responded to show the love of God to our community. It was decided that we would make 40 bags of relief supplies for the victims. So some of our people donated relief supplies, and other people donated their time to pack the bags up, and we made them. And we also included some gospel literature and also a letter of concern from the church that we were praying for them and we were concerned about them. But we put all the things that Ty would see as immediate relief things that they would need, you know, rice and fish sauce and oil and all these things that would be what they would need immediately. Maybe not what we would think, but what they would need. So I just praise God. And then Pastor Siddhi Chai was able to give that to the mayor of Bonpale, who was coordinating the relief efforts. And we gave him those 40 bags of relief supplies for the people who were suffering. 1 John 3, 17-18 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So we need to not only say it, but we need to live it and show it. And I just encourage you to pray. Maybe God would open up ways for you to show love for your neighbors and show that you care in this community. I know you're doing some things now, but maybe God would open up other ways that you can participate in whatever the community is doing, reaching out that they know there's a church here and they love the people and we want to help. Some churches do clothing drives and food drives and recovery programs and all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it's cutting the grass of an elderly person that couldn't cut their own grass. You know, it's just sort of these kind of things that you're living the love of Jesus in front of them. God will lead you. I just encourage you to think about it, to be creative. When our church in Bonpale would meet on Wednesday night for prayer meeting, we would pray that God would lead more of the people in our area to hear the good news of Jesus and would choose to follow him. Our church is only one of two small churches in, like I said, a district of 90,000. And our church isn't big. It's 20, 25 people now. It was smaller then, but 25, maybe sometimes 30. But 90,000 people and just two small witnesses. And if you think about that, here in this area, how many churches? How many people? Do you even have 20,000 in this immediate Hallam area? I don't know. Probably not. But you probably have a lot more churches than two. In Thailand, it would be Buddhist temples. Everywhere you see a church here would be a Buddhist temple, Buddhist temple, Buddhist temple. We have that many Buddhist temples because 90% of the people are Buddhists. Churches would be hard to find, usually hard to find. But I just praise God that he allowed us to go there and that we could start seeing people come to the Lord. When we would do errands, we would often park our car or our bicycle right there by the church. This is looking out at the top of the church, from the top of the church. But the building is 3 stories high, just 4 meters wide. It's one of those storefront buildings. And we would walk across this bridge because a lot of the businesses were on the other side. And we would just pray for each of these four areas. Lord, we want people from this area where the hospital is. We want people from the government buildings in this area. Lord, the area of the market. Father, there's so many people that don't know you. And then the area of the church and where we live, this sort of this four thing that we could see it and we would pray. Ed said he would just feel the wind. Maybe it was from the cars rushing by or maybe the wind from the canal. But he said, I would just sense the wind of the Holy Spirit wanting to bless these people and to go out. And then when we came back, we would see that cross on the top of our building. And we just prayed, Lord, draw more people to yourself, that they could experience the life-changing power that Jesus gives us because he died on the cross for us. Colossians 4:2-3 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. This is the Apostle Paul saying, please pray for more opportunities, for more open doors. And we prayed that way, that God would open more doors. And sometimes he opens doors we never even expected. He amazes us because God is an amazing God. So in November, not quite a year ago, the assistant director of Bonpale, like I said, 90,000 people, the assistant director contacted our pastor and he asked us if we'd be interested in participating in their annual fair that promotes the local agricultural products. Bonpale is a green zone. It grows those delicious, coconuts that you drink. They're called the fragrant coconuts that have the coconut water in the side. Right off the tree, they're amazing. Probably here, they're not so good by the time they get here, but they're from our area. The sweetest ones are there. We grow the fruits and they grow orchids. They grow all this stuff. And so once a year, they have a sort of a fair for the community to come and celebrate and trace their foods and so on and so forth. So it would be held in December up through New Year's, every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And one of those weekends would be Christmas weekend. I think Christmas fell on a Saturday last year, if I remember right. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And he asked because he thought, well, Christmas has something to do with the church. And he asked, is there any church here? Oh, yes, there's that one. Because, you know, they saw the cross and so on. Someone knew about us. And so they contacted Pastor. And they said, you know, you could have a booth at our fair for free, and then you could share on stage each night. They would have a stage in front of where the tables are, where people are eating. And we're like, yes, we'll do it. Yes, we thought God had opened an amazing door for us. Well, God gave us this booth right in a prime location. He actually let us pick where we wanted it. It was right where there was a ton of foot traffic, right near the stage, but not so close that you could still hear things. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during the Christmas weekend, each evening. We had fun carnival games that were free. One night we had darts with girl darts. Anyway, I didn't stay in the booth at that night. I stayed on the outside because that's a little dangerous. I'm like, real darts? But anyway, they loved it. And the adults got in line too to try. It was all free and just fun. And we had all these prizes to pass out to anyone who won. Boom. And so we were also able to distribute about 800 packets of literature that we prepared. It had, you know, gospel things and things about Christmas and things about Jesus and things about our church and, you know, different things. And we passed out 800 packets. That's how many people in those 3 days passed in front of us. I just praise God for that. And we had some good conversations with people that stopped at our booth. Each evening, they gave us 30 minutes on stage. So each night, we invited our mother church to come help us, our team and the mother church, and then they shared together the third night. And each night, we had singing, and we were able to share the gospels. Each of our pastors, the pastor of our current church, Ajahn Sitchee Chai, and then the mother church, and then our Bible school intern, each took an evening and very creatively shared the gospel. Because they're interacting with people sitting at tables eating their dinner. You know, they have the booths with all the food and all these things, and so they're sitting there eating their dinner, so it would have to be very interactive. And so they were very creative in how they shared it, because they had a lot of audience participation, a lot of interaction. So they did very, very well. Each evening, there was a very clear gospel presentation. What amazed us, and like I said, over the course of that, there's the people eating, and you can kind of see the booths in the back with the food. I think more than 1,000 people heard the message between the 3 nights. About our Savior's birth and the wonderful salvation from sin and its bondage. We were also amazed how the district director and the MC for the evening advertised our booth. They came up and they said, this is the booth from the church right there across the canal, and they're going to tell us about Jesus, and they're going to tell us about Christmas, and they have some fun carnival games, you know, visit their booth. I was like, pinch me, pinch me, pinch me. I'm like, okay. They were, the vendors, a lot of them brought their kids. They were so appreciative the kids had something to do, because usually it's just food and buying stuff. The kids are bored. And so they're all in line, a big line of kids, because they knew they were going to get a prize too. But it was amazing. We haven't seen anyone directly who said, yes, I came to your booth and now I'm a Christian. But there was a great change in the atmosphere as we went out and about. People knew who we were, knew what we did, knew a little bit about us, that we cared about the community. And there was, we met people, yes, we saw you that night. And I believe those seeds that were planted will produce fruit. I just am so thankful for that time. We're just trusting God in His time for His harvest. And I just pray the Holy Spirit would do that here. I pray that He would open up incredible doors. You know, we need to reach out one-on-one, one-on-10, one-on-100, but also sometimes the thousands. And the thousands is rare because it's expensive and all this other stuff. But this was just done for us. We didn't even have to rent anything. It was amazing. They just invited us to be a part of it. They had a stage for us, all the sound equipment. I'm like, wow. So anyway, but we need every level. And sometimes God will open the doors for the hundreds and for the thousands. So just pray and trust God that he will. But we need every level. We need that one-on-one, one-on-10, one-on-20. So just pray that God would do that right here in the Hallam area, around your homes, that God would lead you. The example of Jesus taking on human flesh to dwell among us so that he displayed God's glory, grace, and truth is our model to follow for service. Jesus sends us out just as he was sent out by the Father. Pastor referred to this verse a little bit earlier. John 20:21 says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The Father demonstrated his love through the presence of Jesus here on earth. And Jesus is sending us out to be filled with his presence, filled with his Holy Spirit, and then to reveal his presence to people who would otherwise have no chance to hear. When we are filled with the love of Jesus as we dwell among the people, it is one of the best ways for people to experience God's love. And I believe we may never be more like Jesus than when we are willing to be present for him among those who have not yet had a chance to know him. Jesus is calling us to be present for him among those around us. As the Father sent Jesus to be present here on earth, we're to be present for him in our communities. And it won't be easy. The areas that don't know him, the areas, but there are pockets here. It's not going to be places that we go to all the time, but it's going to be someplace. There's places here in America, I'm sure. When I met Nun at her beauty shop, I was the first Christian she had ever met. And she asked me, why did she have to wait 50 years to hear about Jesus? And every time I think about that, but in God's time, I had no answer, but in God's timing, it was not too late. And I just praise God that the events in her life caused her to be open at that point, at that moment, when she was in her 50s. And I'm so glad that I was there for something as silly as a haircut. But God used that. God used that. And I'm sure here in America, there are pockets of places, people that have never really had a conversation or know a Christian that really lives the Christian life. We have this sort of, well, yeah, I'm Christian because I'm American, but we know the actual people who know the gospel, that are living the gospel, is not that great here in America anymore. And we know the numbers are going down. So there are pockets of people that may never, like none, have had a chance to talk with someone who really understands the gospel and the way of salvation through faith in him. They may know some strange things. They may have rejected the church or rejected other things that they know or rejected whatever, but maybe they've never really heard about Jesus and never met Jesus. And they may not necessarily be rejecting Jesus. They may be rejecting stuff. So they need us to live among them, to see it in flesh, to see the glory of God. God is calling us to allow the presence of Jesus to dwell in us and be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that when we interact with people in our communities, they will experience an example of his love. And I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to be sent by Jesus to those who have not yet been transformed by his love and salvation? It won't be easy necessarily, but are you willing? It may be right here in your community. It may be across the river. It may be in the city. It may be in a place that not where you usually hang out or you're comfortable. It may be people that don't look like you. And it may be across the world to another country. God is saying, are you willing if he leads you to follow? Because as the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Valley View here. Thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. And I pray that we would all be willing. Father, we know the good news is good news for everyone. And we know our culture and our society is changing, that it may not be as acceptable here. But Lord, it is absolutely the truth. And I pray that they would see the glory of God through our lives. Lord, help us to be willing to go to those areas, to be present, to be the Christian we need to be, and to share, Lord, that we would see more people come into your kingdom. Father, we do it all for your honor and glory, for your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.